today's reading. There are two readings. The first one is from Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 7. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendour of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendour of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lamp leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. The next reading, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation be prayerful and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
If I ask you what the most joyful time of the year is, what would be your answer? Would you say that Christmas is the most joyful and wonderful time of the year? Yep, many of you just nodding your head. Good. I don't know whether you have heard this song before, but Andy Williams sings, "It is the most wonderful time of the year." Just let's listen to this song.
Wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all.
Hopefully most of you would feel that, oh, this Christmas is most wonderful and joyful time of the year. The third Sunday of Advent is the Sunday of joy. According to Cambridge Dictionary, the definition of joy is great happiness or pleasure. I was often asked by other colleague ministers something like, how's your ministry? Do you enjoy your ministry? Are you happy with that? When I heard of that kind of question, I used to feel that it was inappropriate. Because I thought the commitment to ministry meant not for joy or happiness, but giving up everything that was enjoyable. My view of the minister's life was that it had lots of responsibilities and discipline, an endless round of religious services and doing good. I thought to give my life to God means saying goodbye to all fun and happiness. Often it may lead the life that is a dull and miserable affair. In fact, this is the misconception. Because the Bible says, in Jesus our life will be absolutely full. What does it mean? That we may have life and have it to the full. I believe it means our life will be full with joy, hope, peace and love. I guess that's why Galatians 5:22 and 23 writes, if we live in Christ and live in God's way, He brings gifts into our lives
much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard, something like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are 9 attributes of a personal community living in accord with the Holy Spirit. Going back to the question about my ministry, I say honestly and humbly that I'm happy and enjoy, you know, my ministry here. Having thought about joy, you might find that the joy Jesus gives is different from happiness. Happiness is dependent on circumstances, but joy is different. Joy is that deep and enduring sense that all is well, even when circumstances are against us. Oftentimes in our lives, we experience joy in unexpected times and in unexpected places. God's ways are not always the way we will do things. Our God is full of surprises. Think about what happened to the parents of John the Baptist and Jesus before the first day of Christmas. The parents of John the Baptist were Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were past the childbearing age. They were unable to have any children. One day, while taking his turn in the temple, an angel appeared to old Zechariah, who was a priest, that his wife Elizabeth bore your son. Zechariah protested, saying that he and his wife were too old. But the angel sent by God was telling him the truth. Zechariah left the temple, unable to speak. When he came out, the people immediately realized that the old priest had seen a vision. He was speechless. He tried to communicate by making signs with his hands. Everything happened just as the angel said it would. Elizabeth became pregnant. They experienced unexpected joy by God of surprise. 6 months later, the angel Gabriel paid a visit on a young girl named Mary. Mary was engaged to the village carpenter named Joseph. The angel spoke to Mary that she would bear a son and his name would be Jesus. This is another experience of joy with a full of surprise. Perhaps the most amazing thing about this encounter with an angel was that Mary believed without question. She simply replied, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary placed her trust in God and began to sing her song of praise with full of joy. Give our life to Jesus. It's not to be disadvantaged of joy, but to be occupied by joy. Our text for this morning from Paul's letter to the Philippians, it is just an amazing document. It is a theological document and also the testimony of men who learned to sing in prison. Paul is joyful in spite of his suffering. That is real joy. If when we come to Christ, we are surprised by joy, the surprise ought to be that we are surprised. Philippians is a reasonably short book with only 4 chapters and 104 verses. But Paul mentions joy or rejoice 18 times. In this letter, he sings, he rejoices, he says, "Rejoice again, I say to you, rejoice." We know that Paul was in prison when he wrote this, and probably in Rome. Paul knows that he is near the end. How can Paul find anything to sing about when he is in prison waiting to die? How could he do that? It is just amazing, incredible. When Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, "I will say it again, rejoice, let your gentleness be evidence to all, the Lord is near." Perhaps he's thinking more of the second coming of Christ than the birth of Christ's child. He wants us to focus on the idea that Christ stands just outside the door of history. Rejoice, the Lord is near. Why should we rejoice that the Lord is at hand? Because God is in control. Queen Elizabeth, Donald Trump, Scott Morrison are not in control. A political party is not in control. God is in control. Augustus Caesar ruled over the greatest empire of his time. King Herod ruled over Judea. They thought they were in control, but they were wrong. They were not in control. All it took was a tiny baby to overshadow their empires forever. God is in control. When we acknowledge that God is in control, then we find the genuine reason to rejoice. The season of Advent reminds us that God is in control. This is the real joy of Christmas. It is not only the celebration of Christ's birth, it is an announcement that God has started a great work and God will not cease working until every heart is open to God's love. This is the kingdom that was the very center of Jesus preaching the coming day when God shall reign in every heart. How sad that many Christians have separated Christ's teachings from Christ's person. Jesus' main message was about an event yet to come. It is like for us to come and the story to become a character in an English novel set in a small town, in which every year for the past 500 years, the people all gather in church on Christmas Eve and pray. Shortly before midnight, they light candle lanterns, and singing carols and hymns, they walk down a country path several kilometers to an old abandoned stone shack. There they set up a crèche complete with a manger. And in simple piety, they kneel and pray. Their hymns warm the chilly December air. Everyone in town capable of walking is there. There is a myth in the town, a brief that if all citizens are present on Christmas Eve, and if all are praying with a perfect faith, then at midnight, the second coming will be at hand. And for 500 years, they have come to their stone ruin and prayed. Yet the second coming has avoided them. One of the main characters in this novel is asked, do you believe that he will come again on Christmas Eve in your town? No, one answers, no, I don't. Then why? Why do you go each year? He asks. Ah, he says, smiling, what if I were the only one who wasn't there when it happened? I suspect that is where many of people are. We cherish the baby in the manger, but our faith in the future is uncertain and weak. Hear the good news for today. God is in control, not only in control of the present, but of the future. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with a thanksgiving, present your request to God. Why should we rejoice? Because we trust God. Here is a challenge each of us to face this day. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Can you trust God that He provides what you truly need this Christmas? Can you open yourself to the possibility that no matter how pressing your need may be, God is seeking to work a great work in your life? I guess often we are worried about our future Even we say God is control, not only in control of the present, but of the future. And because of worry, some people lose their joy. Because of being continually comparing their lives with others, some people lose their joy. Because of being focused on their shortcomings, some people miss blessings they are granted. Do you remember what the first thing the angel said to the shepherd watching over their flocks that first Christmas night? The first thing the angel said to them was, "Do not be afraid." That is a very important word for us as we are preparing for the celebration of the holy event. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the future with its uncertainties. God holds the future in His hands. God will not let you down. And don't be afraid that somehow your life doesn't measure up. God loves you just as you are. Then the second thing the angel said was, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Remember, the season of Advent and Christmas was never meant to be a time of anxiety, but a joy. That is why the words in Philippians are so appropriate for today. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Here is the season why we have light and hope during Advent. Here is how we can have internal joy in the midst of external despair. A Savior has been born. Don't worry about your future because God is in control. Don't worry about disappointing your family or your friends. Let them know you love them. That is the greatest gift you can give them. That is the gift God gave us on Christmas. Today's Old Testament reading, Isaiah 35:1-7, is a song about the promised return of the people of Israel from exile. But it is filled with extracts that have become part of the Advent imagery related to waiting for the Lord. It calls on listeners to be strong and not be afraid, no matter how bad things look at that moment, because God will come to their rescue. Isaiah's promise is for us. No matter how hard things seem at the moment, we know that God will eventually win and peace will come. Knowing that we can be strong and patient. So we may rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything, because the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that You are the God of hope. Yet so often we do not feel filled with the joy and peace that You offer to us. Today we acknowledge that You are in control of the present and also future. Please help us to trust You, knowing that You provide what we truly need in this Christmas, the real hope, real peace, real joy, and real love, and that You are seeking to work a great work in our lives. Please increase our faith and fill us by the power of Your Holy Spirit now. Not just to survive or just get by, but to overflow. Thank You that we can come to You today, our God of hope, our God of peace, and our God of joy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.